You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G, D-O-D-G-E-R-S, team, 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 oh.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This is the daily podcast covering the Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential. I am flying solo today. There's a few reasons for that. Mostly the fact that California wants to make it as hard as possible for Californians to work. And so Vince being a Californian and, of course, the Locked On Podcast Network being run by law-abiding citizens, there's just a little bit of figuring out that they're having to do regarding Vince's employment situation because they're contract workers, you know. Don't worry too much about it. It will be resolved, but for the next couple days while it is getting resolved, I will probably be flying solo, at least for today and possibly a few days this week. So, but hopefully it won't be too bad. Today's plan is we're going to finish up the mailbag from Friday's episode. As you remember, we got a lot of questions for Friday's episode, including a bunch that were Mookie Betts related. So we focused mostly on Mookie on Friday. And today, I'm going to be answering the non-Mookie questions. At the time that I'm recording this, which is 9:09 p.m. Pacific time. I don't know why I say Pacific time. You guys know I'm in the Mountain Time Zone. 10:09 where I am on Sunday night. Mookie Betts is still not a Dodger. If that changes by the time I'm done recording, I'll let you know. But I assume, since it hasn't been announced yet, that by the time this episode releases in a few hours, he will still not be a Dodger. I do expect him to be a Dodger soon, which is awesome. But there's nothing to talk about yet because we don't know what the trade is. So no more Mookie talk except as it comes up tangentially in today's mailbag. We'll be answering some other questions. So that's the plan. But first, I want to remind you, please subscribe to Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, let's jump right into the mailbag. Thank you again for all your good questions. We had a bunch of great Mookie Betts questions, like I said, and some really good non-Mookie questions here. So let's start with Miguel Garcia at Mig Solution asks, who is in the starting rotation on opening day, assuming no injuries? Okay, so there's some locks. Obviously, Walker Buehler and Clayton Kershaw are locks. Alex Wood seems like a lock based on things he said and the structure of the incentives in his contract, etc. They obviously have him in mind to be a starting pitcher. So Buehler, Wood, and Kershaw are the obvious ones. I am going to go ahead and say I'm going to guess that David Price is in the opening day starting rotation. So that's four. And then that leaves the last spot to one of Julio Urias, Ross Stripling, Jimmy Nelson, Dustin May, Kenta Maeda, or Tony Gonsolin. I guess maybe Caleb Ferguson in the discussion there. Although the latest rumors about Mookie have, Peter Gammons' rumor has maybe Caleb Ferguson going in that trade. But so there's a lot of guys fighting for that last spot. I don't know what to assume. I think they'll start with Maeda as, you know, the fifth starter or whatever. Obviously, a lot can change throughout the year. A lot of that does have to do with injuries. There's plenty of injury risk in that rotation. There's plenty of guys whose innings they want to limit among those guys. So I definitely don't expect this to be a year like the 2005 White Sox, who basically, I think their five starters started a total of 158 of their 162 games that year. So that's definitely not what we're going to be seeing this year. But that's my best guess for the starting rotation. If David Price doesn't come over in the Mookie trade, that opens up one more spot. I'm not sure who it would be. You know, some of those guys I listed, like I said, Ferguson or Gonsolin or even Stripling might be going back in the Mookie trade. Tough to tell, but really, we know that the top couple, and a lot of that, it's kind of weird that it's still this up in the air, you know, a week and a half before spring training starts, but that's where we stand. So probably not a satisfying answer, but it's the best I got for you, Miguel. Next question from Jesse Seiler at @epi_Jesse. Looks like Julio Urias will play a bigger role this year for the Dodgers. I struggle with rooting for him after last year's domestic violence stuff. What do we want out of our athletes who are accused of domestic violence, and what can MLB and or the Dodgers do to promote that? This is basically the question of all questions. It's tough to know. You know, part of it is because we don't know what happened with Julio in that parking lot. You know, the video never did leak. We didn't get details. There wasn't a satisfying explanation. What we know is the criminal charges were dropped on the condition that Julio, complete counseling and not get in trouble, etc. I don't remember all the details, but basically a contingent dropping of the charges, which isn't the same as saying you didn't do anything. Major League Baseball still suspended him for 15 or 20 games, whatever it was, which, I don't believe that they would have suspended him if there wasn't evidence that he had done something wrong. But, you know, I do believe that there are different severities. And, you know, obviously any domestic violence is wrong. There's a difference in severity, not a difference in whether or not it's wrong, but a difference in severity between, you know, grabbing your girlfriend's wrist to try to keep her from walking away from her, from you in the middle of an argument. And, for example, I guess I won't give too many examples, but the most obvious is the Ray Rice one in the NFL, where there's video of him literally knocking his wife unconscious with his fist. So I think we can all agree those are different things and should be treated differently, including the aftermath. And so with Julio, I'm not going to sit here and say we should just embrace him with open arms. Like I said, it's hard to know what to do because we don't know what happened. From the Dodgers standpoint, all they can really do is try their best to help him be a good citizen. I don't know if they do have a good system in place to help people become better people. It's hard to know what the Dodgers specifically have in place, what MLB has in place other than punishments. It's tricky. What we can hope is that Julio spends the rest of his career and the rest of his life without ever having any sniff of being an a-hole and being a abuser or anything like that. That's what we can hope for. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what Julio is. And so I understand you being reluctant to root for him, and I don't begrudge you that. Because it appears that he's not like a Ray Rice-level monster. That his girlfriend is apparently still with him, still loves him, which obviously I know that doesn't necessarily mean anything. It doesn't appear that she's still with him out of fear. So I'm hopeful that he can grow as a person, become better. And, you know, as long as he is a Dodger, I hope he can contribute to the team. But obviously it's not the number one concern with him. It's a tricky situation, and I guess that's the first two questions that I don't really have a satisfying answer. So with that, let's take a quick break. Let's talk about Arizona. The Dodgers do spring training in Arizona. As you know, 14 other teams do too. The Red Sox are not one of them, but Mookie Betts might be in line for his first Arizona spring training this year. That would definitely be a selling point to get you to make the quick 5 or 6 hour drive from Southern California to Arizona for spring training, see Mookie and his new duds, hopefully. Spring training is awesome in Arizona. The weather's beautiful. The area is nice if you're a big baseball fan, like we talked about before. Everything's pretty close together, so you can travel to other teams, hit the Dodgers road games if you want to, all those things. The Grand Canyon is just a couple hours away. I know I've mentioned this before, but if you haven't seen the Grand Canyon, you really should. It's one of those things. I think people outside America think it's crazy that there are Americans who haven't seen the Grand Canyon, and I basically agree. So, you know, hit the Dodgers, you know, spring training, then head up, see the Grand Canyon for a few hours. You don't have to do a ton there, just see it. And all sorts of nightlife. There's everything you can want to do in the spring, you can do in Arizona. So, if you want to start planning your trip to spring training, go to visitarizona.com/springtraining. That's visitarizona.com/springtraining. Also, if you've been a listener of this podcast, I'm sure you've heard all the great advertisers working with Locked On to reach sports fans. But you might not know that Locked On Dodgers is a great way for your local business to reach passionate Dodger fans just like you. Unlike any other podcast, Locked On gives your local company the unique ability to reach local podcast listeners. Not just any podcast listener, a Locked On podcast listener. If your company wants to connect with Dodger fans and a predominantly male audience that is well-educated with disposable income, then let's put your company right here on this Locked On podcast. Local fans love to support local businesses. Text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising and let us know who you are. We'll get our team to help your team achieve Locked On advertising success. Once again, text the word advertising to 33777 or visit lockedonpodcast.com/advertising. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep it Locked On Dodgers. Okay, it's time for today's obscure former Dodger of the day. This guy is so obscure that Vince and I actually had a conversation about him on our old podcast about 3 years ago. And still, when I looked at him today, I thought, oh, I've never heard of that guy, even though I knew I had, because the reason I came across his name was because I was looking at the description of that old podcast episode. So his name is Jeff Kubenka. He pitched for the Dodgers in 1998 and 99. In 98, he pitched 9 1/3 innings, only allowed one run. That's an 0.96 ERA. Very good. Unfortunately, he also walked 8 guys in that 9 1/3 innings, and so the ERA was not sustainable, and it turns out the next year it was not. He only walked 4 7 2/3 innings in 99, but also his strikeout rate went way down. He only walked 2 in those 7 2/3 innings, and he allowed 13 hits and 10 earned runs for an ERA of 11.74, and his career was basically over. The Dodgers put him on waivers in September of that year. I looked, and there aren't even any other transactions around that time, so it's not like they needed a spot on the roster. They just said, we're done with this guy. So the Diamondbacks claimed him in 2000. He split time between the Diamondbacks and the A's AAA teams, never made it back to the major leagues with either team or any other team. And then after that, he wasn't good for either of those teams. Combined 6.55 ERA and AAA for those two teams. Then in 2001, he pitched in Japan, only pitched 2 innings, allowed 4 earned runs, not ideal. And then he pitched in 2002 in the Mexican League and was decent, but you know, when you're only decent in the Mexican League, you're probably not getting back to the big leagues. And that was it for him. Jeff Kubenka had a short career, all with the Dodgers, was not very good. He's the definition of an obscure former Dodger. So let's jump back into our mailbag questions. I'm going to lump these next two together because they're related. Jake Housel at Housel_Jake asks, is Jock Peterson going to be a Dodger for the rest of the upcoming season? And Matt at Matty Cal asks, how is Alex Verdugo's back? And for me, the answer to the first question depends on the answer to the second question. If the Dodgers are confident Alex Verdugo is going to be healthy, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jock Peterson traded sooner or later in the next 6 months or even a couple days. But if the Dodgers are not confident that Alex Verdugo's back is healthy, a platoon in left field, and this is all based on the assumption that we're getting Mookie Betts, obviously, a platoon in left field of Jock and AJ Pollock. Jock matches righties, AJ Pollock matches lefties. I mean, that could be, they could combine to be basically the best offensive left fielder in baseball. And so if Verdugo is not healthy, I wouldn't be surprised to see Jock stick around. It's frustrating to me that we don't have any idea if Verdugo is going to be healthy. We know he hopes to be healthy, et cetera, et cetera, but we don't even know really what was wrong with him. And so, I don't know. I've been predicting for 3 years that Jock would be traded. I was advocating after the 2017 World Series, sell high on Jock. And then after 2018, I was advocating sell high on Jock. And then Jock hit 36 homers last year. So, I'm still kind of advocating sell high on Jock. Obviously, I mean, Jock can hit. He can't hit lefties, but he can hit. And his defense was a pleasant surprise last year. He's not the defender he was when he first came up, but he played a solid left field. And so I wouldn't mind having Jock out there if Verdugo's not available. But I'm a big Verdugo fan. You guys know that. So that's the answer to that question. And I am on a roll of not having good questions to any answers, at least not satisfying questions. Are not satisfying answers. They're good answers, and that they're honest and true. They're just not super satisfying, maybe. But this next one from at C. Tall Beto, he asks, with guys like Will Smith, Gavin Lux, Dustin May, etc., making their debuts last season, are there any minor leaguers you are excited about or expect to make their debuts this season? It's a really good question. By my count, I think there are only five guys on the 40-man roster who have not yet made their Major League debut. And those guys are, let's see if I can get them all, Victor Gonzalez, left-handed pitcher from Mexico. Scrolling down. Keibert Ruiz, obviously, the catching prospect. DJ Peters, outfield prospect. Zach McKinstry, another, he's kind of a utility guy, plays all over the place, and I must have missed one. Oh, Mitchell White, pitcher. So, of those ones, I mean, Mitchell White, I'm excited about in general. It's hard to say whether I think he will make his debut this year. He pitched in AAA last year, but he wasn't very good in AAA last year. He was very good in AA and not good in AAA, and so it will be interesting to see what happens with him. He's got really good stuff, but hasn't really put it all together yet in the minors. So I definitely don't expect him to have an impact in 2020. You know, depending on how his minor league season goes, we could see him in September. It's kind of, Vince and I talked a week or two ago when we were looking at the non-roster invitees to spring training and realizing that, there's a lot of exciting prospects in the Dodger system, but not a lot of close, exciting prospects. You know, you've got guys like Josiah Gray, Jeter Downs, a lot of different guys who are a little bit lower in the minors and not quite there. Diego Cartaya is still probably several years away, but very exciting. But as far as guys who are, you know, the Dodgers, like you said, had so many guys come up last year and make an impact, that, you know, we don't have to wait for Dustin May's debut or Matt Beatty's debut or Tony Gonsolin's or some of these guys, Gavin Lux. So, you know, I guess there's plenty of guys, of those guys, five guys I listed, I wouldn't be surprised to see all of them make their debuts this year. But as far as making a big impact, I don't know that there's really room for them to do that. And so, yeah, it's not that I'm not excited for them, but nobody has me on the edge of my seat the way that Gavin Lux and Dustin May did last year. But then again, you know, guys like Matt Beatty, I mean, we knew how Matt Beatty was because we had him on our podcast. But even then, we didn't realize what he'd be able to do. Will Smith, we hoped he would be good, but didn't really realize the impact he would have. So just because we're not currently excited about it doesn't mean that they're not going to come up and make an impact. I'm excited for the season. I'm excited to see what unknowns come to pass. And so it's hard to name them specifically because by definition, they are unknown. All right. I think that's better, slightly less satisfying answer, right? Last question from our buddy Jacob Norling at Jacob Norling, who, by the way, he won my bobblehead giveaway the other day. And also, by the way, the bobblehead giveaway was, because Cody Bellinger beat Ronald Acuna Jr. in the semifinals of the Locked On bracket to see which player everybody is most locked on. And today, as you're listening to this, probably Cody Bellinger's going up against Yoan Moncada in the finals. And so I will have retweeted the tweet. The Locked On Dodgers account will have retweeted it. It's LockedOnMLB_net is the Twitter account. You can go find that poll and vote. And I will be doing another giveaway of a bobblehead if Cody wins that. So basically all you have to do is vote for Cody, retweet my tweet, and then if he wins, I'll give away a bobblehead. So I did that on Thursday, I think, and Jacob Norling was the winner of the bobblehead because Cody was the winner of the poll. So anyway, Jacob asks, taking away the Dodgers Hall of Fame rule and including the obvious choice of Fernando Valenzuela, if you could choose three Dodger numbers to be retired, who would they be? And the reason I mentioned, the reason I thought of Jeff Kubenka was because I was looking at an episode of mine and Vince's old podcast. And I was actually looking at episode 30 of the Scully Avenue podcast, in which Vince and I had this very conversation about numbers that we would like to see retired. So I think if I'm reading this right, Jacob, I think you're automatically including Fernando. And so I get to choose three besides Fernando to retire. Oral Hershiser is an obvious one for me. It gets harder because, like, you know, you have like a guy like Steve Garvey who won an MVP with the Dodgers, has gotten some Hall of Fame consideration. His number is retired by the Padres, who he played far less time with and was not nearly as good. But his number's retired by them because they're more desperate. And so, you know, I'm inclined to think Steve Garvey, but then, you know, Steve Garvey wasn't even the best of the four Dodger infielders who were together forever. You know, so how do you not retire Ron Say or Davey Lopes if you're retiring Steve Garvey? So that's a hard one. Other guys, Don Newcomb, obviously did everything, but he's not in the Hall of Fame, so his number's not retired. Nuke would be a great one to see retired. Gil Hodges, similar thing, very good player for the Dodgers, but didn't make the Hall of Fame. Mike Piazza, they wouldn't have to exclude the Hall of Fame rule for him because he's in the Hall of Fame. I still wouldn't be surprised if they retire his number at some point, even though he didn't play for super long for the Dodgers, but when he did, he was very good, and he was, you know, he was very, very good with the Dodgers, and it laid the foundation for his Hall of Fame career. So I guess, you know, if Fernando's already in, I would go with Hershiser, Newcomb, and, I guess I'd go with Garvey still, but I'm conflicted on that one. And I honestly don't remember how that lines up with what Vince and I said on episode 30 of the Scully Avenue podcast. So you can go listen to that if you want. It's still wherever you get your podcast. If you search for Scully Avenue podcast, you can find it and go to episode 30. You can hear that our audio quality wasn't super great back then, but we were just getting started as podcast partners back then. So might be fun to listen to anyway. And you can report back and tell me what I said that day. I know we weren't limited to three, so I'm sure my answer wasn't exactly the same. But let me know if I am consistent 3 years later. And I think that is going to wrap it up for today. Thank you all for all your questions. Thank you for listening. We love doing this podcast. I'm looking forward to having Vince back here with me to podcast with me soon. We will be back tomorrow, maybe to talk about the Mookie Betts trade if it happens, maybe to talk about something else, but I will be here. I'm not sure if Vince will be here with me or not, but please follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. If you have Apple Podcasts, even if you don't use it, please subscribe there. It will help other people find us. So follow us, subscribe us, like us, and review us on iTunes, all that stuff. We are on Twitter and Instagram at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Semperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com. You can leave us a voicemail or shoot us a text anytime you want. The number is 323-863-LOCK-5625. I think that's all the ways to get a hold of us. DMs are open everywhere, personally and on our podcast accounts. So hit us up. We are here every weekday morning. We hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you later.
I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs. They're my Los Angeles. Your Los Angeles. Our Los Angeles.
think will really win the pennant?
Bye!